Chapter 9. Opportunity of a Lifetime. The true test of Indonesia awaited me at Maine. I went to the Prudential Center headquarters first thing in the morning, and while I was standing with dozens of other employees at the elevator, I learned that Mack Hall, Maine's enigmatic octogenarian chairman and CEO, had promoted Einar to president of the Portland, Oregon office. As a result, I now officially reported to Bruno Zambatti. Nicknamed the Silver Fox because of the color of his hair and his uncanny ability to outmaneuver everyone who challenged him, Bruno had the dapper good looks of Cary Grant. He was eloquent, and he held both an engineering degree and an MBA. He understood econometrics and was vice president in charge of Maine's electrical power division and of most of our international projects. He also was the obvious choice to take over as president of the corporation when his mentor, the aging Jake Dauber, retired. Like most Maine employees, I was awed and terrified by Bruno Zambatti. Just before lunch, I was summoned to Bruno's office. Following a cordial discussion about Indonesia, he said something that made me jump to the edge of my seat. "I'm firing Howard Parker. We don't need to go into the details except to say that he's lost touch with reality." His smile was disconcertingly pleasant as he tapped his finger against a sheaf of papers on his desk. 8% a year. That's his load forecast, can you believe it? In a country with the potential of Indonesia. His smile faded, and he looked me squarely in the eye. "Charlie Illingworth tells me that your economic forecast is right on target, and will justify load growth of between 17% and 20%. Is that right?" I assured him it was. He stood up and offered me his hand. "Congratulations, you've just been promoted." Perhaps I should have gone out and celebrated at a fancy restaurant with other Maine employees, or even by myself. However, my mind was on Claudine. I was dying to tell her about my promotion and all my experiences in Indonesia. She had warned me not to call her from abroad, and I had not. Now, I was dismayed to find that her phone was disconnected, with no forwarding number. I went looking for her. A young couple had moved into her apartment. It was lunchtime, but I believe I roused them from their bed. Obviously annoyed, they professed to know nothing about Claudine. I paid a visit to the real estate agency, pretending to be a cousin. Their files indicated they had never rented to anyone with her name. The previous lease had been issued to a man who would remain anonymous by his request. Back at the Prudential Center, Maine's employment office also claimed to have no record of her. They admitted only to a special consultant's file that was not available for my scrutiny.